Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, there are calls on the government to provide urgent clarity over the funding for the reopening of the short-stay ward at Letterkenny University Hospital. Guardian and Isiona are investigating an incident in which a calf had its tongue cut from its mouth in what appears to be a malicious attack. Meanwhile, an investigation has been launched following an attack on a Go Safe van in Raphoe. And a major clean-up operation has been launched after household goods were found dumped near the Donegal Derry border in recent days. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin. But first the news. The Taoiseach says the Brexit backstop is just a fallback insurance mechanism which hopefully will never be used. Simon Coveney is in Belfast today to offer businesses reassurances on the withdrawal agreement. He's also meeting with some of the main political parties at Stormont, including the DUP. Minister Coveney says he's using his visit to explain the backstop in detail.
I've heard a lot of genuine concerns coming from Northern Ireland, particularly from the unionist community. And so what I wanted to do was to come here, take questions, answer them, and give the reality of what's actually in the text of the withdrawal agreement when it comes to Northern Ireland, the backstop issues, protecting the peace process and so on, to explain to them that this backstop that some people seem to fear is just a fallback insurance mechanism which hopefully will never be used.
A mother of two from Derry has been charged with arson at Lennimore Stables in Moth in November 2018. 31-year-old Julie McCartney of Ashmore House, Edenmore Court, Derry, was brought before today's sitting of Buncrana District Court, where new charges were brought against her on which the state wishes to send her forward for trial in the Circuit Court following the completion and service of a book of evidence. Trish Lafferty reports.
Julie McCartney has been charged with arson at Lennimore Stables, Derry Van, Moth on November 4th, causing €250,000 in damage, including a Scania lorry, two pedigree horses, adjoining stables and contents. She's also charged with handling stolen property at Seabreeze Apartments, Shrove Green Castle on November 4th and 5th, 2018, including four horse bridles, 13 harnesses, 10 reins and one horse saddle. Inspector Dennis Joyce made an application to withdraw three charges, two burglary and one criminal damage, previously brought against the defendant. Her reply to each charge after caution was no comment, Judge Paul Kelly heard. Applying for bail, solicitor Mr. Ray Lannan told the court his client was a mother of two children with special needs, whom she hadn't seen in 9 weeks and has no previous convictions. Judge Kelly noted that bail had previously been refused on the basis of possible intimidation of witnesses and flight risk, as the defendant is not resident in the state. However, Mr. Lannan told the court his client had an address with a friend in Castledirk where she could stay and therefore would not be near any witnesses. He also said there would be no flight risk as his client wished to meet the case and protest her innocence. According to the Inishowen Independent, McCartney was remanded in custody with consent to bail on the High Court conditions to appear before Letterkenny District Court by videolink on Monday, January 14th.
Guardian and Isiona are investigating an incident in which a calf had its tongue cut from its mouth in what appears to be a malicious attack. On today's 9 till noon show, John told Greg Hughes that it appears someone entered his farm on Tuesday night and attacked the animal. He contacted Gardaí and a local vet and says the vet confirmed the injury appears to have been deliberately inflicted with a sharp blade.
The vet never seen this before, didn't realise how much of the tongue that was lost. She said herself that there's no way he could bite this tongue out. If any animal, anything else done it, there would be saw marks or there would be teeth marks. This is like going to your butcher, not to describe it too much, but going to your butcher and buying a bit of roast beef, that clean slice, that's what this is.
In your conversations, have we ever heard of it happening anywhere where animals' tongues had been cut out?
Well, we've heard of a fella across in Finney and Derry where he's having a lot of trouble at times with sheep, a lambing time where there's somebody actually going in and cutting the tongue out of the sheep. It seems to be, I'm only going by looking on social media, that it seems to be right back in at the base of the tongue. Most of the tongue is gone. You have to ask yourself what kind of a sick individual would do something like this.
There are calls on the government to provide urgent clarity over the funding for the reopening of the short-stay ward at Letterkenny University Hospital. It was announced in November last that 10 beds in the ward would be reopened this month as part of a funding allocation from SEALTA's winter planning process. Management at the hospital have too claimed the funding is not the primary issue in the reopening of the ward, rather the retention of staff. Senator Padraig McLaughlin says urgent confirmation is needed on whether the full €1.8 million has been sanctioned and that the 20-bed short-stay ward will reopen as soon as possible. He says there are a lot of mixed messages surrounding the issue.
It's absolutely vital at this stage that they clarify that the full €1.8 million that was applied for by the management of Letterkenny Hospital has actually been allocated. We're hearing mixed reports. We're hearing about 10 beds being reopened rather than 20. We're hearing about half the ward being used for other purposes rather than the full ward being reopened. And we're seeing the crisis escalating again this winter with impossible conditions for the nurses and doctors and support staff and totally inadequate and unacceptable care provision for those who are in the emergency department in distress. You know, we really need 2019 to be the last year where that short stay ward is closed.
And management themselves have said that funding isn't the main issue at present, but it is indeed the recruitment of staff.
Well, you see, we're not clear. There's been all sorts of mixed reports about this. What the management of the hospital applied for in early 2017 was €1.8 million to reopen the full ward, to staff it and do some refurbishment works. That's what public representatives have been supporting. That's what thousands of Donegal people supported in the petition that myself and Pierce Doherty handed over late last year. That's what we understood was sorted when Joe McHugh was on Highland Radio talking about this. But now we're hearing about 10 beds being reopened. We're hearing about different funds, different sources of funding. So we need clarity from the Minister, A, that the full $1.8 million is being provided, and B, that all the 20 beds will reopen as soon as possible. We need that clarity.
Meanwhile, the Psychiatric Nurses Association has announced plans for a three-day strike next month. The PNA says the stoppage will run from February the 12th to the 14th. Ahead of the strike, the union's members will refuse to do any additional hours on 5 days during January and February. The union says recruitment and retention of nurses within the healthcare system needs to be addressed. It's calling for realistic proposals from government as a matter of extreme urgency. A major clean-up operation has been launched after household goods were found dumped near the Donegal-Derry border in recent days. Household appliances, furniture and other materials were discovered on the outskirts of the Craigan area. Derry Councillor Kevin Campbell believes due to the large quantity of discarded items, a vehicle was used to transport them. He's appealing to anyone who may have any information in relation to the illegal dumping to come forward.
Straight on the border with Donegal, and over the Christmas period we have the likes of a fridge freezer, a mattress, bags upon bags of household rubbish, a cot, you know, you name it, it has been all dumped on those back roads. And these back roads, the likes of the fridge freezer and stuff of that nature, and the amount of bags of rubbish had to be transported by a vehicle, by a van of some description. You drive for another 10 minutes in that van, you were at a recycling plant, which would have took everything off your hands. It just destroys the whole environment. It's absolutely shocking, and appeal to people, please desist from this type of activity.
And a major job now for the local council to tidy it up.
Council, okay, and then we're talking about cost cutting and everything else. Council has a job of work to do. They have to keep that area clean, and it's absolutely shocking, quite honestly.
In terms of the Craigan area itself, is it prone to a lot of this kind of activity?
I think a lot of it. We had one of the recycling plants closed about 2 years ago. The other one was opened, it was made bigger, more easy access, and we had an idea it may cause a problem. It hadn't caused a problem, but in the last, over the Christmas period, especially in the back roads of Craigan, I think it's just a height of laziness. Rather than drive it for another 5 or 10 minutes down the road to the recycling plant, they take it to the back roads and they dump it. You know, in the back roads, they're a nature reserve and everything else. This is our environment. They need to be looking after it. And that's one way, and I would appeal to people as well. If they have any information, any of these people, council need to know who the people are. They need to be taken before the court, these people.
An investigation has been launched following an attack on a ghost siphon in Raphoe. Gardaí say they are currently investigating an incident of criminal damage on a ghost siphon in the Derry Road area of the town on Tuesday night last at around 12 a.m. No arrests have been made, but Gardaí have confirmed investigations are ongoing. A GoFundMe page has been set up to assist the children of Jasmine McMonagall, who was found dead at her home in Killigordon last Friday. 27-year-old Richard Burke of Forest Park in Killigordon is due in court again tomorrow, charged with her murder. Close friends of the McMonagall family have appealed to the public to donate to help ease any financial pressure the family of the 28-year-old may face. Speaking on today's 9 till noon show, family friend Adele says they have been overwhelmed with the generosity of people already.
So the reason we set it up was for the two little girls that are left behind there, because the life will be extra challenging growing up without the mum anyway, and nobody can change that. But we were thinking if we could set up a practical and a supportive act for the family from the community to show them that the community care and that we all care about them. And this morning we found out that we've met our target. So we set a target of €5,000 and we've met that target. It's gone over now, which is absolutely amazing. And that's only by, I think, 120 people that just donated so far, and it's hit over 5,000, and we just really can't get over how amazing and how generous everybody can be, especially January. January is a tough time for everybody financially, and it's just, we're shocked and just can't get over how amazing everybody's been, because all children need help for the future, and if you can help these two girls in any way, it's absolutely amazing. And the family themselves have told me to say that they want to thank everybody who's shared the page, who's donated, and they're so appreciative and so thankful of the support. And they just, everybody's just a little bit overwhelmed that it's only been over 24 hours and already we've met this target.
Sport on Highland, in association with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Gear up for 2019 with a massive winter sale in-store or online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's now 14 minutes past five and time for the latest sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with Gaelic Games, and the Ulster Council have confirmed penalty kicks will be used in this weekend's Bank of Ireland Dr. McKenna Cup semi-finals if required. Should a game be level at the end of normal time, extra time will be used with two periods of 10 minutes each way. If the game is still level after extra time, penalties will then be used to decide the winner. The Leinster and Connacht Councils will not use extra time in their games, but go straight to penalties. Donegal, they'll play Armagh, and Tyrone face Derry in the McKenna Cup semi-finals this Sunday. Moving on to soccer, and Declan Rice is promising a decision on his international future soon. The West Ham teenager has three Republic of Ireland caps to his name, but as they were all in friendlies, he can still play for the country of his birth, England. In an interview with the Evening Standard, Rice confirmed talks with Ireland boss Mick McCarthy that also included his father and his brother, Connor. Rice has also spoken with England manager Gareth Southgate, and the 19-year-old says both managers have given him time to make up his mind. Elsewhere, former Republic of Ireland international Anthony Pilkington has joined Wigan Athletic on an 18-month deal. The 30-year-old has made 9 appearances for the boys in green. He has joined the Latics following a 4.5-year spell at Cardiff City. He had helped the Welsh club secure promotion to the Premier League last season, but has fallen out of favour with manager Neil Warnock. Republic of Ireland women's under-19 head coach Dave Connell has named a 20-player squad for a doubleheader against Italy next week. Donegal girl Amy Boyle Kerr has been included among the midfielders for the games in Rome. They take place next Thursday the 17th and Saturday the 19th of January. In some other soccer news, West Ham have issued a statement in response to rumours linking Marko Arnautović with a move to China. An unnamed club are said to have tabled a bid of £35 million for the Austrian forward, but the Hammers say Arnautović has a contract that they fully expect him to honour, are adding that he is not for sale. Arnautović's current deal is due to expire in the summer of 2022. And Unai Emery, he says any deals Arsenal do in this transfer window will have to be of the loan variety. The Gunners manager is keen on signing a centre-back and a winger, but has admitted they have no money to spend this month. Arsenal have been linked with Barcelona's Denis Suarez. And Belgian winger Yannick Carrasco, now a Chinese Super League side, Daling Yifang. Elsewhere, Watford's Martin Ziegler has joined Udinese on loan until the end of the season. The left-back joined the Hertfordshire club from Sporting Lisbon in August 2017. He made 13 appearances. Italian side Udinese are owned by the Pozzo family, who also own Watford. Moving on to rugby, it's been reported that Jonathan Sexton will miss Leinster's crucial Pool 1 clash with Toulouse on Saturday. The Irish Independent claim that a calf problem will see the World Player of the Year miss the game at the RDS. Leinster coach Stuart Lancaster claimed earlier in the week that he had a full faith in Ross Byrne in the number 10 jersey if called upon. And Chris Farrell, he'll start for Munster in tomorrow night's Heineken Cup Champions Pool 2 meeting with Gloucester. The centre had been a major doubt for the game, but scans on his knee brought positive news. Johan van Graan has made six changes from last week's win over Connacht at the sports ground. Conor Murray, Rory Scannell and Mike Healy, they returned to the defence. While into the pack come CJ Stander, Stephen Archer and Dave Kilcoyne. Former Munster lock Gerbant Grobler and England out half Danny Cipriani, they're both in Gloucester starting 15 for the game at King's Home. Moving on to tennis, and Roger Federer, he'll begin the defence of his Australian Open title against world number 99, Dennis Istomin. The Swiss is in the same half of the draw as Rafa Nadal, who opens up against Aussie qualifier James Duckworth. Andy Murray, his first hurdle is the Spaniard Roberto Batista Agu, while in the women's top seed Simona Halep, she could face both Williams sisters en route to a potential quarterfinal. They're all in the same section, with Halep facing Kay Kanepi in the round one, while Serena Williams, she begins the defence of her title against Germany's Tatiana Maria. Finally, for this evening in golf, this week on the PGA Tour, the Sony Open is taking place in Hawaii. There's just the one Irish representative this week, Seamus Power. He's taking part in that event. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, there's an urgent call on the Education Minister to restore DESH status to the Donegal schools who lost out on the grant in recent years. A review is currently ongoing in relation to the DESH system itself and the schools who used to avail of the funding but subsequently missed out. Local Councillor Micheál Colmogilla-Osbach says it's imperative Minister Joe McHugh prioritises schools in the county. He claims that by not providing this much-needed grant to the schools in question, it's forcing those affected into even more poverty.
I've been in contact with the Minister of Education, not just when he got the ministry, but prior to that there, about the importance that DESH is reinstated to the schools who lost it. For example, meeting their J School, Nardara, Ranafarste, Dunloe, Mahonlea, Public School, Gidor, Gartahaike. And it's vitally important that this funding stream this funding mechanism is given back to the schools, because by not doing that, it's forcing our school communities into more poverty.
Meanwhile, All-Ireland education cooperation is more important than ever with Brexit on the horizon. That's according to Foyle MP Alicia McCallion, who led a Sinn Féin delegation to meet with LYIT's president Paul Hannigan to discuss educational links between Donegal and Derry. The delegation, which included a number of public representatives from Donegal and Derry, discussed the ongoing progress in building upon the Memorandum of Understanding set up between LYIT, the Northwest Regional College and Ulster University. Alicia McCallion says while she is confident that funding will remain in place post-Brexit, clarity is needed from the governments on both sides of the border.
What we do need is some clarity from the Irish government in relation to future funding of places from students coming from the north into the south and vice versa. At this stage, because of the work that has been ongoing for the past year, it's probably likely that there would be no change in the funding pattern for students either way.
For weather now, mostly dry this evening with scattered patches of mist and light drizzle. Tonight will be mainly dry with a few clear spells and lowest temperatures of 3 to 5 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, a mother of two from Derry has been charged with arson at Lennimore Stables in Moth in November of 2018. 31-year-old Julie McCartney of Ashmore House, Edenmore Court, Derry, was brought before today's sitting up on Crona District Court, where new charges were brought against her. Gardaí and Inis Seán are investigating an incident in which a calf had its tongue cut from its mouth in what appears to be a malicious attack. On today's 9 till noon show, John told Greg Hughes that it appears that someone entered his farm on Tuesday night and attacked the animal. There are calls on the government to provide urgent clarity over the funding for the reopening of the short-stay ward at Letterkenny University Hospital. It was announced in November last that 10 beds in the ward would be reopened this month as part of a funding allocation from SEALTA's winter planning process. And an investigation has been launched following an attack on a Go Safe van in Raphoe. Gardaí say they are currently investigating an incident of criminal damage on a Go Safe van in the Derry Road area of the town on Tuesday night last at around 12 a.m. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Thursday evening, January the 10th. The death has occurred of Heike Muller, Rally Kerrykeel. Remains will arrive at Our Lady of Lourdes Church, Kerrykeel, tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock, followed by private cremation. House private, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Donegal Hospice, care of McAteer Funeral Directors. The death has occurred of Susan Gill. Anu Clomani remains leaving Carndonagh Community Hospital this evening at 6 o'clock, going to her late residence. Fiona from there on Saturday morning at 10:30, going to St Mary's Church, Clomani, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to Carndonagh Community Hospital Patients Comfort Fund, care of McFeely Funeral Directors, or any family member. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. and strictly private on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place at Pat Sharkey, 4 Glen Road, Strabane, and formerly of Fountain Street, Derry. Remains reposing at his home this evening from 7:30. Funeral leaving his home on Saturday morning at 9:30 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Chest, Heart and Stroke, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Margaret McBride, née Binney, 15 Ulster Cottages, Glebe, Sion Mills, and formerly of Alloa, Scotland. Her remains will repose at her home from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in St Teresa's Church, Sion Mills, at 10 o'clock, followed by interment in Melmount Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Western Health and Social Care Trust, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Paddy Norrie, St Mary's Terrace, Remelton. His remains are reposing at his home. Requiem Mass on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Remelton. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. Family flowers only. Donations if desired to Remelton Community Hospital Patients Comfort Fund, care of Sweeney Funeral Directors, or any family member. The death has taken place of Keith Douglas Allen, Castledoe, Creeslaw, and formerly Johannesburg, South Africa. No wake. Funeral Mass in St Michael's Church, Creeslaw, on Saturday at 12 noon. Private cremation later. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to the Donegal Hospice or the Franciscan Friary Arts, Creeslaw, care of any family member or James Harkin Funeral Director. The death has occurred of Brian McGuigan, 29 Mulvey House, Strabane. Brian's remains are reposing at the home of his son Ronan, 64 St Jude's Court, Lifford. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Melmount, followed by interment in the adjoining churchyard. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. The death has taken place of Dennis Harley, Ards, Creeslaw, and formerly Glen, County Derry. His remains are reposing at his home in Ards. Funeral Mass in St Michael's Church, Creeslaw, at 12 noon tomorrow. Burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. Wake today until 11 p.m. Family only, please, before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. The death has occurred of Charlie Harkin, Mill Road, Glenties, and formerly of Stragar, Killybegs, and Peckham, London. Remains reposing at his residence at Mill Road, Glenties, today until 11 p.m, with rosary tonight at 10 o'clock. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 to St Connell's Church, Glenties, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by burial in Killybegs Cemetery to arrive at approximately 12:45. Family time from 11 p.m. until 10 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of James McGuinness and Sons Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Mary Farron. Faherna Kuldav remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Augha Clay, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 12 noon. The death has taken place of Mary Worski, Inch Level, Spin Og Birch. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral tomorrow morning at 10:15, going to St Angus's Church, Birch, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in Birch Cemetery. Wake is private, please, at the request of the deceased, family and friends only. And the death has taken place of Billy Doherty. Kilmacrenan remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral Mass in St. Columbus Church, Kilmacrenan, at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Charlie McLafferty, Funeral Directors.